welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
Well, if you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And you can pull out your notes that should be inside of your worship guide that you can follow along with. I heard the story of an 8-year-old little girl named Susie who had come home from school. And she informed her mom, she said, "Mommy, at class today, they told us how to make babies." Her mom was a little like, "What?" You know, she's looking at her 8-year-old little girl like, "What did you just say?" And she said, "Okay," you know, but she settled down and you know, she, thought, "Okay, I'm just going to call the teacher and you know, I'm going to, you know, kind of find some things out." So she calls and she calls the teacher and said, "Okay, my daughter, told me that you told her how, you know, how to make babies." And so the teacher said, "Why don't you just go back and ask your daughter how that happens?" And so she's like, "Okay." So the girl, the mother gets her little girl and sits her down and says, "Okay, sweetie, how do you make babies?" And little Susie said, "Well, you drop the Y and you add the I-E-S at the end, and then it becomes babies." So, having understanding really makes a big difference, doesn't it? Right? Having clear understanding makes a big, big difference. And over the last, number of weeks, we've been talking about this thing of living without limits. And there's something about kids that what I love is when you are around a child, you watch their understanding grow. I heard another little story about a little one who was working with helping his mom out at a nursing home, and she was cleaning and just volunteering around there, and so he was following her around, and just, you know, everything that mom was doing, he was helping out with, canes, crutches, wheelchairs, all these things, this little guy was just so intrigued by all of the appliances of old age, and so just, wow, this is really cool, as one day, the mom had taken her son along and walked into this room, and in this glass, there was the dentures that were in the glass. And so the mom didn't really think much of it, but all of a sudden she saw the little boy just staring at these dentures in the glass, and he looked over at his mom, and he said, "Mom, the tooth fairy is never going to believe this." But again, what's fun to watch, kids, as they grow, as they get older, their understanding grows. And yet as children of God, God's desire is that as his children, our understanding would grow of his kingdom. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been in this series, studying the book of Mark, talking about living without limits. And we talked the first couple of weeks about what we need to redefine, redefining some things. But today, as we move into Mark chapter 4, we see Jesus really wanting to lead us into a place of deeper and greater understanding regarding the kingdom of God. And so, starting in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 is where we're going to begin. Jesus starts to teach people and really invite people into, including us, this greater understanding of his kingdom. So we're going to start in verse 30, and this is what he says. He says, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it?" If you skip down to verse 33, it says that Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterward, when he was alone with the disciples, he explained everything to them. So again, what we see here explained in Mark chapter 4 is that Jesus was working to expand the understanding of his followers and his disciples when it comes to the kingdom of God. And it's interesting because throughout Jesus' ministry, there's really a lot of conversation, a lot of teaching around the kingdom of God. And people would often ask about it. In fact, we see a scenario in Luke chapter 17 where the Pharisees had come to Jesus and they said, Jesus, when is the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. And so what Jesus was acknowledging is that there are these Pharisees, these religious leaders, these teachers, that they were attempting to gain understanding of the kingdom of God, but it was more for the sake of mastery, that they could master it, that they could become, you know, experts in it. Now, I have a secret that I want to tell you. I haven't told many people. Many years ago, I used to bake stuff. When I was a kid, I became very fascinated with baking. So I would find these recipes and I would bake. I would bake apple crisp, brownies, cookies. And by the way, I want you to keep this a secret because I don't want Stacy to make me start baking at the house. You know, she makes better stuff than me. But I was a kid, I got into baking. Now, here's the thing. Some people in my family and friends, they thought that I was doing it for them. But I was actually just doing it for me, right? I was a teenager and I just wanted to bake stuff so that I could gorge myself with it. And, you know, I think what Jesus was acknowledging, you know, is that for some of these religious people, their goal was to master things, but it wasn't for the sake of others, it was for themselves. That their desire to master the kingdom of God was selfish. It was self-oriented. And so that was the case in Jesus' day, is that these people, they were studying, they were seeking knowledge, but it was so they could be powerful. And Jesus, in this situation, kind of tweaks them a little bit. Because he says, guess what? The kingdom of God is in you. It's not the kingdom of God is not just this mysterious thing that maybe if you study more, you can become an expert or whatever on it. But the kingdom of God is within you. And it really has to do with the rule and reign of God. The kingdom of God has to do with his rule and reign. It's recognizing that he and his power is limitless. He is omnipotent, the Bible says. And so when you choose to follow him, what you're doing is you are choosing to let his kingdom, his rule and reign, happen in your life. And so then when that happens, his kingdom is there. His kingdom then is in you. And as a result, when his kingdom is in us, it changes us and really invites us into becoming servants. See, while religious people are more about getting knowledge and accomplishing things so that they can have this sense of self-importance, Jesus said, no. See, the kingdom of God is about something much more than that. The kingdom of God, it's not something that you master. In fact, if you're taking notes here, what I think I want us to see right away here is that as Christ followers, when we seek understanding, it's for the sake of serving our master. We don't seek understanding for the sake of mastery, of mastering knowledge and understanding. We seek understanding of his kingdom so that we can serve our master. And so Jesus wants to expand our understanding of the kingdom so that we can serve him well. So as we look here, Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 21, then I want us to see here where Jesus, he's talking to the people and he says, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. He says, a lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and what? I understand. So, if the kingdom of God, if our goal should be to seek understanding so we can serve our master well, to serve him well, then if we're going to serve him well, what do we need to understand? There's four things I want us to see today. And the first thing is this, that if you're going to serve him well, if I'm going to serve him well, I need to understand that I am invited into the light. I am invited into the light. Now, this last couple of verses that we read, people often misunderstand this. That when it talks about things being brought into the light, some people think that Jesus was talking about how everything that you've ever done wrong is going to be exposed. But that's not what he's talking about here. That rather, what he's expressing is the desire of God for us that we would live in the light so that we could know his ways and his heart. That there would be nothing that would hinder our understanding. And so, sometimes we live in a way that where we just assume that God is playing this kind of game where he's keeping certain things hidden and almost like keeping things a secret. And so therefore, we don't really enter into the light. We kind of stumble around. A number of years ago, in fact, I was in college at the time, I was asked to house sit for this couple who... they didn't have any kids in the house. They were older, and they were going on a long, like, almost two-month vacation in a motorhome. And so they asked me to house sit for them. And they had this big house. She loved angels and cats. And so I kid you not, they had, like five or six cats, like living ones, plus, like, stuffed ones and pictures of cats all over the place. And then interspersed, I mean, she had an entire room dedicated to angels. Like, there were angel dolls and pictures, like, probably 150 in this one room alone. Like, I walked in, and I just felt like I was being watched constantly. Like, I didn't know to be scared or reassured, you know. But there, you know, just this big house, and I was all alone in this house, and, you know, I was, you know, kind of enjoying the bachelor life a little bit, you know, though. And so one night, I had been working all day. I came home at 10 at night, and it was an early spring day, but by this time, I was just tired. I've been working all day long, and so I head in, and I, you know, put in a microwave dinner, because that's the extent of my cooking skills. And I turn on the TV, and I sit down in my chair, and I'm just, you know, starting to, you know, pig out and relax. And all of a sudden, you know, and I'm you know, I kind of got out of my work clothes, I'm in relaxed clothes, you know, and all of a sudden, I hear this, and every light, everything in the house just goes dark, just black. I'm like, great, you know. And so I'm sitting there for a moment or two, and then I feel like I see all these little eyes looking at me, you know, kitties and angels. And so I'm like, I get a little nervous, you know. And so I think, man, you know, I start kind of walking around. All of a sudden, I hear something downstairs. And so I open the basement door, and I forgot that it was connected to the alarm. And so all of a sudden I hear beep, and so their alarm pad was in their closet. So I go over to the closet and I try to turn off the alarm, and I'm hitting the buttons, but I can't see them. And it beep, 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 you know, it doesn't work. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, great. So I start looking around for flashlights. I can't find a flashlight anywhere. You know, obviously lights aren't turning on. I'm just, you know, and this was before cell phones, you know, so I didn't have my little cell phone thing. So I'm just fumbling around, and all of a sudden, now the warning goes off, and now it's like a loud alarm. You know, and I can't even hear myself think. It's that loud. And so finally, I don't know what to do, so I wander outside. I'm in my boxer shorts and a t-shirt. I'm standing outside in the rain, and the police show up. You know, and here I am just standing out there, just kind of, and they shine their big light on me, and I'm like, help, you know. So the officer walks in, And we go to the alarm pad and we look inside and he shines his flashlight down and right in the corner, guess what we found? A flashlight right in the bottom corner, kind of tucked behind some things, but there is a flashlight. And I love that story because I feel like sometimes that's how we are a little bit with God, in that we're working so hard to try and do things for God and trying to do our best to please him, and yet we miss the fact that, you know, we're still fumbling around and still, you know, kind of aimlessly wandering, and he's going, the light has been right there all along for you. I've invited you into the light. I've made it possible for you to live in the light all the way along. All you've got to do is embrace it. And that's a little bit of what Jesus is talking about. As he's saying, listen, you know, I've made the light available to you. God's not hiding the light from you. If you feel like you're wandering and fumbling around right now in your life, God's not hiding. He's not playing games with you. The light is already there for you. Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus says, I want you to consider carefully what you hear. He said, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So Jesus is not just telling us to keep track of what we hear, but he's also calling us now to be mindful of how we hear. And so here's the second thing I want us to recognize today. I need to understand, first of all, that we're invited into the light, but second of all, that we need to understand that I am instructed to steward truth well. You and I are instructed to steward the truth well. As you hear the truth of God's word, the real question becomes, what do you do with it? What do you do with the truth? Now, in most translations, these verses that I just read talk about this measuring thing. Talk about the measure that you use. And it says, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you and even more. This is a kingdom principle. Now, this passage here really is all in the context of hearing God. Hearing his voice. And what do you do with the truth that you hear? And so at first glance, though, this may not make a lot of sense. I mean, because you might go, well, I mean, either you hear or you don't hear. But hearing seems like a kind of a passive thing, right? I mean, either you heard or you didn't hear. And, you know, you'd think, well, there's really not much you should be doing, right? You just hear. So then you might wonder, well, if that's the case, then why is Jesus making it such an issue of accountability? Like, why is he saying, you better consider this carefully? Basically, if you miss this, it's going to cost you, is what Jesus is saying here. Like, that's pretty heavy. Like, you're going to be held accountable for what you do with what you hear. So why? I mean, and here's the thing. If we think of hearing in terms of it being just a passive thing, then we're going to miss this. That we've got to recognize that this is about something more. I had this thought that I wanted to kind of illustrate this with. Like, I want us to see and think of truth, the things that God speaks to us through his word, as nuggets. So when God has revealed things, when he speaks things to us through his word, and as he instructs us along the way by his spirit in our lives, he gives us like a nugget. So here's a nugget. This is a healthy nugget. This is a kind of bar. But here's a nugget, right? And he gives us a nugget, and we get, maybe this is a nugget of promise that we get from his word. And maybe this is a nugget of his love, an understanding that we will get of his love, and maybe there's instructions in how we should live and how we should treat others, and there's all these nuggets that we receive along the way, commands and certain things that he's called us to, how to live in certain ways. And so we receive these nuggets. And Jesus, what I want us to recognize is we have these nuggets, and when he talks about this whole realm of measurement, that these nuggets, this is the kingdom of God. You have these nuggets in your life. That you've been given and entrusted with these nuggets as they were. God's given these to you. There's nothing that can take these nuggets away. So in light of what he's given to you, he's deposited, he's given you these nuggets, this truth that's life-changing. I mean, if you receive these things, it's life-changing. So in light of what he's given to you, these nuggets that he's deposited in each and every one of our lives, the question is, how much of yourself are you giving to him? He's given to you truth that brings life. So how much of yourself are you giving to him? Because see, Jesus is saying, if you give much of yourself to him, then you're going to receive much in return. What he's really talking about is how much of yourself are you giving to God? But if you don't give much of yourself to him, then you're going to also receive the same in return. That how much, it's the seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you as well. It's that principle that you will receive back in terms of truth, in terms of just the abundant life that God invites us into. It's all relative to how much of yourself are you giving to him. Does that make sense? So when we steward truth well, it's not just about getting really, really smart. It's about what are you doing with what you're receiving? How are you responding to it? How are you surrendering your life to him as a result? People who give themselves wholly to God as they receive truth, they don't go, well, you know, I like this one. I like this one about, you know, God blessing me, this promise about blessing, but this one about forgiving people, nah, I don't like that one. You know, this one about, you know, really getting to do great things for the kingdom of God and helping the poor, sure, I like that one, okay. But then loving my enemy, I'm going to throw that one out, you know. No, you don't get to parcel it out. You don't get to parcel out the nuggets of truth. Either you give yourself fully to him and respond fully, surrendering yourself to truth. Sorry, I got to clean up my mess here. Sorry. Either you surrender yourself fully or not. And see, when we give ourselves fully to receiving the truth of God's word, there's this responsiveness to it. So, you know, for instance, when I, by the way, just yesterday celebrated 17 years of marriage. Yeah. Woo. So as a husband, when I read the book of Ephesians, I don't just read to that point where it says, you know, wives submit to your husband, and go, hey, honey, are you responding? You better do this one. And then I don't just, that means that I don't get to turn a blind eye to the other part where it says, oh, and by the way, husbands, lay down your life for your wives like Christ laid down his life for the church, right? So I don't get to parcel it out. I've got to respond to all of it, and I steward that truth well. Here's the third thing that we need to understand and see about the kingdom of God. Verse 26, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he is asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Here's the third thing. I need to understand that I am expected to grow. When I surrender to Jesus and he becomes Lord in my life, meaning that nothing in my life is off limits to him anymore. If I'm really following him and saying, Jesus, I'm putting you in control of my life, and that means that everything in my life is open to him. That then everything in my life, I'm letting his word speak to. And so when he says you need to change your attitude towards your coworker, I've got to respond to that. When he says, love your spouse with kind words or give to this person in need. And so when you're letting the kingdom of God have authority in your life, the expectation is growth. In fact, Jesus talks about harvest here in this passage. And, you know, I think in our modern world, this gets a little lost sometimes, this expectation for growth. Because we live in a world that I think sometimes wants to almost kind of remove expectations completely. Now, I'm not talking about an unhealthy form of expectations, but, you know, for instance, in our, at least in Oregon, I remember our kids at the school district that we were in, they wouldn't even, like, have grades, you know, until high school. So, you know, it's just like, get little happy faces, you know. Ooh, happy face, you know, it's big happy face, you know. Or in sports, I mean, all of a sudden, like, for years, they weren't even keeping track of kids' scores. It was like, everybody gets a trophy, right? Everyone gets a participation award. And, in fact, last year when I was coaching our youth baseball team, we were in a league where they were keeping score. Thank you, Jesus. I don't think I could coach one of those other ones. But I remember at one point, my little middle school baseball team, we were down 14-1, like in the second inning. And my guys are kicking the dirt. No, it's over. Oh. And they're just already frustrated and ready to go home. And so I pulled them together, you know, and I put on my best preacher voice. And I began to inspire them with words of hope. It's not over yet. We can do it. You can do it. And sure enough, I mean, they had this huge inning and then another huge inning. And we ended up winning the game by like 2 runs. And I mean, they're just, you'd think we won the World Series by the end. They're jumping up and down and just so excited. But here's the thing. If you don't keep track of where you've been, it's hard to celebrate growth. If you don't keep track of the times when you were defeated, if you don't keep track of where your grades were, it's hard to celebrate when you actually make progress. So we all have a past, amen? We even all have a present. We all have areas of sin and brokenness in our lives. Here's the thing, we can't afford to ignore it. That, you know, sometimes I think, again, people want to ignore things. They want to pretend like the score wasn't 14-1. They want to just kind of ignore it, whether it's that they're afraid of facing reality or they don't know what to do with that fear or insecurity. They try to pretend it's not there. And so they try to find ways to make themselves feel okay. But you aren't going to overcome your deficit until you admit that you have need for God. Until you recognize, God, I'm in a really bad place right now. I need you. See, when you come to that place, then you're saying, God, I need you to help me grow past where I am. I don't want to stay stuck where I am. I don't want to stay in this hopeless place, this broken place. And see, when you do that, again, it's recognizing that there is an expectation for growth. God doesn't want to leave us where we are. He doesn't want us, leave us bound up by our past. There's an expectation to grow. And again, that's the concept of harvest. Healthy human bodies grow. Plants, healthy plants grow. Healthy Christ followers grow. Healthy churches grow. And we can't force growth, but we are responsible to set the conditions where things can grow. God's the one who grows, but we are the ones that prepare the land and make sure our hearts and lives are receptive and open and able to grow. And so when I understand that growth is expected, here's the thing, I don't get lazy. When I keep in mind that God expects me to bear fruit, to have a harvest in my life, then what that means is I don't get lazy. Instead, I stay diligent in preparing day after day that I can grow. Continue in verse 30, and Jesus says, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. Here's the fourth thing I need to understand. I need to understand that I am encouraged to guard my heart. I am encouraged to guard my heart. Now, as far as we know, a mustard seed has never grown that big as Jesus describes it. But what he's talking about is the fact that the kingdom of God will grow in ways that are unfathomable to us. And one thing I want us to catch here is Jesus talks about birds. In the scriptures, birds are usually depicted to depict evil trying to work its way into our lives. In the Bible, the birds are used to depict, you know, Stacy would especially say amen to that because my wife Stacy does not like birds very much. In fact, we were at some gardens the other day and there were these peacocks around. And I've never seen her run so fast in the other direction. I mean, those little things are just chasing her. But in the Bible, these birds they depict evil. And as the kingdom of God advances, we need to guard our hearts and our lives from evil that want to build nests and hide out in our lives. In fact, Proverbs chapter 4 says this. Says, guard your heart above all else. Why? Because it determines the course of your life. And so here's the implication. There's always going to be evil lurking around the corner. There's always going to be evil wanting to work its way into our lives. It's nesting in the trees. And we can't afford to let our guard down. So how do we do that? Well, yeah, I mean, imagine a farmer that's always out there just swinging away, right? Trying to keep the birds away from his plants. He's sleeping in the fields, trying to do whatever he can, diligently keeping the birds away from what he's planted. You know, guarding our heart. It's not just about this legalistic vigilance to follow rules. Guarding our hearts has to do with understanding. When I was younger in the church, I remember oftentimes, you know, it was almost like not that they wrote out a literal list of rules, but I remember there were kind of these unspoken things that you don't do. You don't, you know, don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with girls that do, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, and, you know, and so there are kind of these unspoken rules, and yet, you know, it's not about all these, just again, rules. It's about understanding, and see, a wise farmer understands the crops. He understands what it takes to have a healthy crop, and he understands what keeps the birds away. And so, you know, they build those things in. They build in those things to their lives that, you know, they put in the scarecrow. You know, they put in those things that help guard and protect them. And, you know, I think in my own life, I remember a season where I hadn't recognized that there was evil lurking in my heart. That there, I had allowed some things into the places of my heart and my life that it was about to take me out. In fact, one morning, I've been struggling. Have you ever had those seasons where you're just kind of bothered? Everything, you know, everyone is annoying. Everything is frustrating. No one is moving fast, you know. And it was like a couple weeks in a row of just, you know, I'm biting everyone's head off. I'm frustrated. And so one morning, I'd gone into my office and I was trying to do work, and I was just like, every little thing, I'd see an email, I'd hear the phone ring, I'm just frustrated. And the Lord said, okay, are you ready now? I said, what? He said, just, are you ready? And so I got down on my knees and I just kind of turned off my computer. I got my Bible and I just turned on some worship music, and I just sat before the Lord, and I said, okay, here I am, Lord. I want to just open myself to you. And as I began to pray, all of a sudden I realized that there was a certain person in my life at the time that kept coming into my mind. And as I realized it, the reality was this person had hurt me little over a year prior. They had betrayed me in my mind, and I had kind of moved on. You know what I'm talking about? You just kind of, I'm just moving on, you know? I'm fine. I'm just moving on, you know? But the reality was, even though I had moved on, my heart hadn't. And I had allowed unforgiveness in my heart. I was holding things against this person. In fact, even in those moments, I could feel my teeth grip when I started to think about him. And the Lord said, are you ready to let this go? He said, I want you to forgive them. In fact, I want you to speak blessing over that person right now. And so in those moments, I just began to pray. And I just, for about a half hour, I just began to pray blessing over this individual. Tears were streaming down my eyes. And then the Lord said, I want you to write down what you've prayed. And I just began to write down this prayer of blessing for this person. And then he said, now, I want you to send it to him. I said, what? He said, yeah, I want you to send it to him. And so I sent it to him and with a gift, in fact, that I felt like I was supposed to give. And within, I sent it with literal snail mail. So it was about 2 days later, I got a phone call from the person. And within another day, we were sitting across from each other in a restaurant, and we were crying and sharing, and God restored something in that relationship, and we're good friends to this day. And while I'm thankful for that friendship and the fact that God restored it, can I tell you what I'm even more thankful for? I'm thankful that God helped me to see that thing in my heart, that it was evil. It was the birds making nests in the trees in my heart that had I not dealt with it, it would have affected what the kingdom of God wanted to do in my life. It would have affected my ability to have a harvest of righteousness, as Jesus talks about here. And this morning, all these things that we've talked about are so important that Jesus points out to us again. He invites us into the light. He invites us into this ability to see his truth and to know and have wisdom of heaven. And he instructs us to do well with the truth that we receive. And he even then says, now, and I want you to really work and prepare for growth. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is that we guard our hearts, because it's from that place that all the rest of that grows. I'm going to ask you this morning to set your Bibles aside, and I want us to take a few moments here today to just, in the same way that I opened my heart to God that day, I want to invite you to open your heart to him today too. Because again, Jesus wants us to understand his kingdom. He wants us to understand all that God has made available to you and to me. See, once we get these things, once we allow our hearts to be free, and when we really start to have the light come alive in us, what begins to happen is all the promises of God, that they start to get opened up to us. All the blessings that God has been storing up for you and for me, they become more and more available to us, because now we're going to be able to steward them well. Now we can actually receive them well, and we won't spoil them because we're still hung up on things in the past. And so it begins with our hearts. I want to ask you this morning to just close your eyes with me if you could. And, you know, maybe today, you're here today and you'd recognize that you'd be going right now, man, I know that there's some things in my heart. Maybe there's birds that have built nests in your heart. And you'd recognize, wow, I didn't even realize that I've allowed a little bit of that evil, a little bit of that stuff in my heart that I've almost tried to forget about it, but maybe it's areas of unforgiveness. Maybe it's areas of greed for you, or maybe it's fear. But my prayer right now for you is that the Holy Spirit would help you to see those things, and that you would have the ability to surrender to him. Because when we surrender to him, again, that's what makes it possible for him to bring that light into our lives. And so this morning, I want to just I'm going to pray for each of us right now, and I want to just ask right now if you could just symbolically just kind of open your hands before the Lord right now. If you're one that would say, God, there's an area that I know I want to just open myself to you today. And I want to pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that you have made it available to us. And I pray for each of us today that any areas of our heart that we have allowed something to just be stored up, right now we bring that before you. We surrender it to you, and we ask that you would set us free, that you would make us whole, that you would heal our hearts and allow our hearts to become a place where good things can grow up, where your love can grow, where your purposes can grow in our lives, where we can become the people that you've made us to be more and more. So I just pray your blessing over each one here. I pray that each of us, Lord, would have, again, a greater and greater understanding of your kingdom, not just in the form of knowledge, but, Lord, understanding that would show itself in wisdom, that we would make wise decisions every step of the way that would glorify and honor you, and that would allow our lives to bear a great, great harvest. So we just commit ourselves afresh to you today. If there's anyone here today that would say, I want to commit my life to follow Jesus. Maybe there's someone here today that you'd say, I've been far from him and I want to commit myself to follow him. I'm going to pray this prayer, and if you would be agreeing with that today, I want you to just agree in your own heart as I pray this prayer. Jesus, I commit myself to you today. I no longer want to live my life far from you. I choose to receive your love. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. So come into my life. I choose today to follow you from this day forward. In your name. So in all these things we pray, amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.